All right, Sparheads. Father, we thank you for this afternoon, this morning. I mean, thank you for allowing us to gather together and be with each other, Lord, and just to and study your word and look upon your word and to grow spiritually and just and grow in wisdom and knowledge, Lord, and revelation. We pray for revelation. And every time we go to the word, we pray for revelation, Lord. Just pray for this little Sunday school here, Lord, and pray for the service upstairs, Lord, and the afternoon service as well. Just bless the brother preaching. And just pray for our revelation and our understanding to increase today, Lord, and that we get better as Christians. Forgive us of all things, Lord. Thank you for all things, Lord, and be with us and guide us. Pray for those who are sick and are unwell or unable to make it, Lord. Just be with us all in a special way. In your personal name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, Proverbs chapter 6. I'll do a little bit of review last time, but we basically talked about the things that that God hates. So, Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, which we discussed was, you know, having pride or thinking that you're better than someone, or maybe looking at someone as if they're lesser than you, or thinking of someone in that way that they're lesser than you. So you don't want to be too proud. You don't want to be too prideful. You don't want to boast yourself up or pump yourself up. And there's many times, this is a common theme in the Bible, there's many times where it says those who exalt themselves will be abased, you know, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. So we are always, as Christians, we're supposed to humble ourselves. And that's always the spirit of God, is that we humble ourselves. And that's how Jesus came, and he came in a humble manner. So we following his example, should also be humble. A proud look, a lying tongue. A lying tongue, obviously we shouldn't lie. Even earlier in this chapter, it says that we're bound to our word. And if we want to be surety to our friends or to people who run into us, or want to be someone that people can look to and be sure of, we shouldn't lie. And if we say something, we should only say it if we really mean it. So we should not have a lying tongue. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And like I talked about last time, you know, hands that shed innocent blood isn't always, you know, physically murdering somebody. But, you know, even Jesus talks about how just insulting someone or saying a bad word to someone or trying to put someone down could be considered murder. And last time I did not have the scripture, but today I do have the scripture. It's in Matthew 5, and I'll read it to you. And in Matthew 5, verse 22, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." You know, so, and in verse 21, he says, ye have, the verse before that, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever kills shall be in danger of the judgment. And then the very next verse he says, but whoever is angry with your brother without cause shall also be in danger of the judgment. So he's saying we've been told not to murder or to kill, but you know, you're the words you say, and if you're, you know, angry with someone without cause, if you call someone raka, which is it's a word that means useless. So if you were to call someone useless, or to insult someone, or say, you know, you're not good for anything, or to say you're ugly, or you're this, or you're that, or just to be a rude or mean person, you know, that you're also, like he says, in danger of judgment, you know, in the things that we say, in the words you say, and your intention towards others. So it's not just about physical murder or harm. It's about it's about what you say. Your words have meaning, and your words have power. So it's important to remember that. And that's what he's talking about in Proverbs 6. He's talking about, you know, hands that shed innocent blood. So it's not just, oh, well, I'm not a murderer, so I don't have to worry about that. But it's, what are you saying to the people in your life? What are you saying to people? If even sometimes if you feel like things are getting confrontational and you're upset at someone, they're upset at you, even then you should sometimes hold your tongue and hold your peace and wait for yourself to calm down or wait or pray for guidance, you know, but don't speak too rashly so that you don't say something that could shed innocent blood. In verse 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, a feet that be swift in running to mischief. So like we talked about last time, deviseth wicked imaginations. So not just the things you say, but even the things you think. You know, and Brother Branham talks about how we as Christians need to get so close to God that we can be in the mind of God and to know what God is thinking and even to be just because we're supposed to be one with God. And that's how we perfect ourselves, just to be closer and closer to what he is, to be sinless, to be perfect, to be forgiving, to be merciful, to be everything that he is, we need to be. So even in the things that we think, we should also be just like God and not to devise wicked imaginations. And Brother Branham always says, you know, thoughts come and you can't always control what thoughts come in your head, but you can control if it stays there. Like Brother Branham always uses that description of a bird. And the bird can fly over, but you don't. But if you let a bird sit, and then eventually it'll make a nest where there. But you want to try and wipe it away or get it out of your head as soon as possible, so it doesn't lay a nest there and it doesn't become a bigger problem down the road. So thoughts come, but we're supposed to not let them sit or linger there. We're supposed to get rid of them and know that we're Christians, and we're supposed to rise above those thoughts. So not just to say, oh well, the thought came, so I have no control over that. No, we're supposed to, you know, be against, you know, devising wicked imaginations, as the Bible says. And verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So, as I said before, sowing discord is kind of like instigating or causing problems or trying to get people to argue or fight with each other. And I think it's really crucial and interesting that he basically says lying twice. Because in verse 17, he says a lying tongue. And then in verse 19, he says a false witness that speaketh lies. So if there's anything that God hates, it's a liar. It's someone who doesn't tell the truth. And that's what happened in the garden. When Eve was talking to the serpent, he lied to her. He said, well, you shall not surely die. And that was one of the first things that led us off the path, was, you know, a lying tongue and someone who lies. So that's mentioned twice here in these verses, that a lying tongue and a false witness that bears lies. So we should really be conscious of that. And lying is a very deceptive thing, because people think lying is like, oh, well, you know, people think, oh, I'm not a murderer. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't do this. I didn't steal. But they'll lie, and they'll think it's not a big deal, because sometimes the consequences of a lie don't manifest themselves immediately, but they will eventually down the road. And especially if you get caught for a lie, then, you know, people don't trust you. And there's so many things that lies can cause problems in relationships and marriages and families, even in churches, among friends. That's why the very first, I believe it's the first verse. The first verse says, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou, you know, and you need to be surety for the people around you and for your friends and for people who can trust you. So that's why God really doesn't want lying, because lying causes so many problems. And it's one of the first things that went wrong in the garden. And part of that is, even the Bible says, you know, if you add or take away one word from the scripture, you know, you'll be cursed. And what do you do when you add or take away from the scripture? It becomes a lie. If it's one word off, it becomes a lie. So like in the garden and even in our everyday conversation, we should be very, very careful and very wary of lying. We should always aim to tell the truth to the best of our ability, and not to lie to people, and always be honest, and not to try and deceive things. So lying is a big no-no for God. And that's why he's saying these are the things he hates, and he mentions lying twice. So it's good to keep that in mind, and that we really, even the little things, we might see it as a little thing, but it's really a big thing. Because we won't murder, we won't steal, we won't do these things, but we'll still lie. So we need to be conscious of that and wary of that in our Christian journeys. In verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now the law of thy mother. Well, we know, as Brother Branham has taught us, that women represent the church. So the father's commandment, of course, is God's word, and also the law of thy mother is also part of, you know, following, you know, your church order. That's why, you know, even Brother Dale said, you know, if you feel like you're not getting what you need at this church, you need to go to another church where you feel like you're getting fed spiritually. So even the laws of what's going on in your church matter, or the order of your church. And if you don't believe in the order of your church, you need to find somewhere where you do believe in the order of the church, because, you know, you can't say, well, I go to church and I believe God, but I don't listen to the pastor because I don't believe what he says. And you, at that point, you're out of the line of God. You need to find a church where you do believe what's being said and you do believe what's being preached. So remember that women, you know, of course, represent the church, and they keep the five fathers' commandment and forsaking the law of thy mother. And verse 21 says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. So we've been over this before, because this happens a lot in Proverbs, where it says bind them on your heart and around your neck. And as we said, the heart is the deepest part of you, where you really, really, truly, whatever you truly, truly believe is going to be in your heart. That's why it's either faith or doubt in your heart, because it's the most sincere part of you. It's either going to be faith or doubt. So that's what you truly, truly believe. And around your neck is just something, is just, the neck is a vulnerable area, and that's where sometimes people have necklaces or things that they find precious. And it's just to emphasize that, you know, the word should be in your heart and it should be on your neck. And it should just be places where you know, where you're vulnerable and where in places that are really vital and important to you. As it was, like the scripture says, seek it as like a fine silver, or like riches or treasure. So we should be seeking the things of God in that way and keeping them in our hearts and around our neck. In verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. That's like the walking with the word and the scripture guiding you in the way you lead. And that's another promise that we have. There's many promises. And that's one of the promises, is that it'll lead you, it'll keep you, it'll talk with you. So it'll advise you in the way to go. So everything in life, everything that you have need of in life, anything that when you need advice, if you need a guide, what school you want to go to, what you want to do with your life, you know, who you're going to marry, whatever's going to happen in your life, the Spirit will be there and take care of you. If you'll listen, if you'll read the word and truly listen to what, try and catch on to what God is trying to tell you, the Spirit will be there. It'll lead you and guide you. And it'll help you out. And that's what that scripture is talking about. In verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, what might that scripture mean? I don't have an answer. What might that scripture mean? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Adam, what do you think it means? Levi?
Let me go out on a limb here and say an evil church and the flattering tongue of a strange church.
Exactly. That's exactly what it means. Because we know that, like we discussed just before, women represent the church. So here it's saying, you know, keep you from an evil woman and the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So there's a lot of, especially in this age, there's a lot of churches that, instead of talking about what the Bible says, they want to cater to the people more so. They want to say, what do the people want to hear? You know, I saw this interesting statistic earlier this week where it said that a lot of churches don't, like, I think they interviewed pastors, and they said the majority of pastors don't even believe the teachings of the Bible. And then they said there was like half of those pastors said they did believe, but then only 2% said that they actually taught what was in the Bible. So there are some churches where they believe the people of the pastors, the preachers, they believe the teachings of the Bible, but only 2% will actually take what's in the Bible and preach it to the congregation. So a lot of churches, a lot of things, especially in this age, a lot of churches are trying to cater to the people. They're not actually trying to preach the Bible. They're not actually trying to preach the word. They just want to say, well, you know what? Amen, brother. If you're wearing a blue shirt today, you're in the will of God. And if you're wearing a red shirt, you're in the will of God too. And if you're in a red dress, that's a wonderful dress. What color is that? Burgundy?
Purple.
Is that purple?
Purple, burgundy.
Well, if you're in a purple dress, hallelujah, sister. You're on your way to heaven. And if you're in a black sweater, that's amazing. That's good for you. You know, and but you see what I'm doing. It's like what I'm just saying things that I'm seeing in the crowd. I'm like, oh, that's what they want to hear. But I'm not.
Messages.
Say again.
Feel good messages.
Yeah, feel good messages. Exactly. I'm just saying, oh, well, you're doing wonderful. And nothing I said was scriptural. I'm just saying, oh, look at that wonderful dress and that wonderful sweater. And man, that striped shirt. That's a good haircut, brother. And none of it's from the scripture. I'm just saying things, just trying to make you guys smile, make you guys look happy, make you guys, you know, feel good about yourselves. And oh man, that football game, right? And it's like, where's the scripture? Where's the word? You know, and that's what the scripture is saying. It's the flattery of a tongue of a strange woman. So it's just flattery. It's just noise. It's just things to make you feel good, or you know, or if you're down now, you'll be up later, or you know. Just trying to inspire people, you know, but it's not word driven inspiration. It's not inspiration from the Bible, just inspiration naturally, you know. So like a lot of what they call the prosperity gospel, and we know Joel Osteen and all those, there's many different doctrines that just cater to the people as opposed to actually going to the Bible and teaching what it teaches and actually telling the people what the Bible says. And that's why there's all this confusion about homosexuality in these other churches, or if women preachers, or and they're doing all these things, and they want to make you feel good, and maybe they want to shout, maybe they want to have a loud song service, but when it gets down to the teaching of the word, they're not actually following it or teaching it. They just want to, it's the flattery of a strange tongue, you know. So in verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, and a lot of times evil will come from flattery. You know, the we always talk about, the devil isn't like the red horn devil, like forked tongue, like horn guy, like that is portrayed in the media. Yeah, pitchfork, none of that. It's if the devil was to come to us right now in a physical form, he'd be a very handsome, a very appealing, he'd be very charismatic, he'd say nice things, he might even bring you cookies, who knows? But he would come in. He would come in a flattering way. He wouldn't come in and say, oh, well, God's the worst, and God's terrible, and God hates you. And no, he'd come in and say, well, God has good intentions, but, you know, there's just some things where, you know, maybe aren't for you to follow. Maybe the Bible's just not. Maybe that one verse just is for someone else, and it's not for you. And he'd say it in such a nice way, and he'd try to convince you, and he'd have a nice haircut, not like me, but he'd have a nice haircut, and he'd have nice shoes on, and he'd have, you know, he would look the part. He would sound so nice and so convincing, and he'd be so suave, and he'd be so he'd have all the appearances.
Nice haircut.
Well, thank you, Levi.
You just roll out of bed, ready to go for the entire day. You don't have to work on a bad hair day, nothing.
Yep, it's really easy. But he would just come in a way that was so flattering and so nice to you, and he would almost deceive you into thinking you're doing the right thing. Or that oh, well, you know, like the prosperity gospel. Oh, God wants you to make money. He wants you to be prosperous, and he wants you to. It's like, yeah, but God wants you to be prosperous spiritually. He wants you to, you know, get into the word and really see what the word says. You know, Or even, you know, maybe a woman preacher would say, oh, well, you know, God loves everyone. So he would want a woman to preach if she had the ability to preach. And well, no, the scripture says, suffer not a woman to teach. And the woman, well, that was a long time ago. And, you know, times were different. And, you know, they wouldn't yell at you. They wouldn't fight with you. But they would just, they try to be so nice and so considerate. And meanwhile, they're leading you to off a cliff. And it's completely off the word. Regardless of that flattering tongue. So evil isn't usually a booming, loud voice that sounds awful and is yelling at you, but evil is usually a soft voice with a flattering tongue. It makes things look nice, but under the surface, it's leading you to hell. So always be careful of, you know, a flattering tongue, and especially when you go to some churches and they start saying things that might sound nice, but it's off the word. And you always have to bring it back to the word, no matter what it is. You have to bring it back to the word. It has to line up with God's word. So verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So once again, it's talking about the appearance and the flattery of, you know, the things might look nice. Like, oh, look, our church has a pizza party every Sunday. Or we have service for 20 minutes and then we have ice cream and there's barely any word being preached. Or it's like Brother Branham talks about how some churches are just like a lounge, or like they just go out to hang out and they might say God bless you, amen, for like a few minutes, and then they're back talking about the football game or back to the pizza party. But they're coming together, but it's not really about God. It's just about, you know, them having a good time or hanging out. Verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and in his clothes and not be burned? So here it's just talking about the things you consume, and what you consume is what you are. You know, even in the natural world, they'll say that your five closest friends are a resemblance of who you are as a person. So you're not going to have, you know, five close friends that act a certain way, and you're not going to in some way, you know, be associated with those activities, because a man can't consume fire and his clothes not be burned. You know, that's what the scripture is saying. What you eat is what you are. Brother Van talks about the white dog and the black dog, and which one wins? It's the one you feed the most. It's the one you give the most attention to. It's the one you commit the most of your day to, the most of your actions towards. So the one that wins is the one you feed the most. So it's always to remember that. What are we consuming? What are we feeding on? You know, are we feeding on, you know, books or shows or movies or TV, or are we feeding on the Word of God? Are we feeding on, you know, going out and doing things that maybe we know we shouldn't do? Or are we feeding on, you know, going to church and having fellowship with the brothers and sisters? What are we feeding on? Because you cannot consume fire and your clothes not be burned. That's what the scripture is saying. You have to consume good things. If you want good things to happen in your life, if you want holy things, if you want more of God, you need to consume more of God. You need to consume more of the Word. You need to consume, you know, the good things of God. So that then that's what you'll be consuming. That's what will happen to you in your life. Because if you consume fire, you'll burn. But if you consume good things, then you'll be prosperous. In verse 28, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So interesting here that it's saying whoso committeth adultery with a woman, you know, lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So even the things that, you know, people commit sins and maybe they find it pleasurable, maybe they think, oh, I just want to do this, I want to be free, I want to have fun, or whatever their, you know, decision may be. Those things are destroying your own soul. And even earlier in Proverbs, it showed us that, you know, the consequences of sin is, you know, is destruction. It's you know, hell. So And it's self-destructive, even then, because I forget the exact scripture we read in Proverbs, but it said that those who run towards, mischief or bad things, it's just going to destroy you. It'll be self-destructive. It's not going to benefit you, even though you think it might seem pleasurable in the moment, but it's not going to benefit you. In verse 33, a wound in dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So here's talking, it's continuing on the consequences of sin. And it's saying his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now, there's only one way to wipe away reproach, and that's through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way that we can wipe away reproach or be innocent of sin or be innocent of anything. Is to have the blood of Jesus and to wipe that away and accept what he did for us so that it can be wiped away. But it's saying that if you sin and if you commit adultery, you lack understanding, destroying your own soul, and your reproach shall not be wiped away. 34, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not separate in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. So that scripture to me, verse 35, neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts, sounds a lot like to me the scripture where he talks about not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter into heaven. Because it's saying you give many gifts, but you won't rest content. So, it's not about saying Lord, Lord the loudest or just going to church, but it's about really having the life in you and really living the life the way you're supposed to, living a good Christian life and having the new birth and being perfected, the way that I'm supposed to. So that's all we have for today. God bless you. You're dismissed.